It's not always easy to figure out what to do with our past, but Skip Heitzig has a few ideas that might be helpful.
Your past and who you are as defined by your heritage, your past, ethnicity, family upbringing, lack of love, whatever happened in your family, that can either be a hitching post for you or a guidepost. You can let it hold you back, or you can learn from it, be shaped by it, and see it redeemed. It can be a hitching post or a guidepost. And it seems that whenever we bring into our new life in Christ stuff from the old life, it becomes a problem.
Make the connection at the foot of the cross. Study the Word of God and find the way into His love. And take the time to read, for Jesus took the time to bleed for our sins.
In the movie Captain America, Steve Rogers is asked why he was chosen to be America's super soldier. What makes him so special? Rogers humbly responds, "Nothing, I'm just a kid from Brooklyn." Truth is, that's a common trait among many superheroes. There's nothing really special about them except for the fact that they were somehow selected to do something special. What makes them heroes is that when that moment came, they didn't balk, they accepted the challenge. And the same is true of the Bible's heroes. Most of them aren't all that special to begin with, but they are used by God to do some extraordinary things. And that was especially true of Abraham. We'll find out more today in The Connection with Skip Heitzig. But before we start, here's something to maybe help you discover God's special plan for your life.
Why is time so valuable? Because it's so rare, we just never have enough of it. Most of us know that spending time in prayer and reading our Bible is important for a successful Christian life. The trick is finding the time in our busy daily schedules. The Daily God Book by Skip Heitzig will help you make the most of the time you have to spend with God. In just a few minutes each day, the Daily God Book will give you a scripture to focus on and an insightful thought to pray about. Better yet, this book will take you through the entire Bible in just 1 year. That's right, just a few minutes each day is all you need to go through all the major themes of Scripture from Genesis to Revelation. Order the Daily God Book by Skip Heitzig for just $15 when you call 1-800-922-1888 or when you visit connectionradio.org. Time may be valuable, but time spent with God is priceless.
With Abraham, God put his plan to solve the problem with sin into action. His relationship and covenant with Abraham was the first step towards redemption for all of us. So let's take a closer look at the early phases of one of the greatest schemes ever concocted on behalf of humanity.
And make the connection.
Turn to Genesis chapter 12 again, and let's catch up with Skip Heitzig as he continues with his study.
And they went out with them from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to the land of Canaan, and they came to Haran and dwelt there. So they didn't go all the way, but they stopped at a town, and they didn't leave that town till the old man dies. Once the old man is dead, then Abram goes into the promised land. This is what it would be like. If God said to us in Albuquerque, "I want to bless you so much, I'm going to blow your mind with a blessing, but for that to happen, you have to move to Mexico City." So you go all the way from Albuquerque and you stop and live in El Paso. That's a border town, but it's not Mexico City. Haran was a border town. It was the very edge of Mesopotamia before you got into the land of Canaan. So they stayed in that border town for about 15 years. Now, why did they go to Haran? Well, it's interesting. If you compare the names of Terah's relatives with some of the names of the area around Haran, they're identical. That is, either the people were named after those places or the places were named after the people. So a lot of historians believe this, that the father of Abram, Terah, originally was born in the land of Haran. That's where he was born. That's where he lived. And he migrated 600 miles to the southeast over to Ur of the Chaldeans, where he raised his family. But later on, got older in life, and after God had appeared to Abram, and Abram said, you know, I think we ought to get out of here. His dad said, good idea. I've always wanted to go back home. I want to go back to Haran, where I'm from. And so they migrated back, but they stayed there. Now watch this. Go with me now. You got to get the full story to get this. Go to Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7 is very helpful because Stephen is recounting Jewish history to the Jewish elders. And believe me, he's not going to make any mistake when he's talking to them. This is the Sanhedrin in Jerusalem. Acts chapter 7. In verse 2, Stephen said, brethren and fathers, listen. The God of glory, it's a very unique title used only here of God, the God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he dwelt in Haran. And he said to him, get out of your country and from your relatives and come to a land that I will show you. And then he came out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Haran. From there, when his father was dead, he moved him, moved him to this land in which you now dwell. So let's piece it together. This is what happened. God gloriously appeared to Abram when he was in Ur of the Chaldeans, where he was raised. And God said, you got to do three things. Leave home, leave your family, leave your relatives, and go to a land that I will show you, which is the land of Canaan. Now, he did the first thing. He left home. He did not do the second. He didn't leave his relatives. They all went with him. Or should I say, he went with them, because it was his dad that was doing the leading. And they did not go to the land that God was going to show them, the land of Canaan. They stopped in El Paso, in Haran. And they lived there for at least 15 years until the old man died. And then he went into the land of promise, the land of Canaan. So all I can say about that is this. I know that Abram had it tough. He was raised without spiritual resources in a land of idolatry. He was raised in a family where he got a shocker when his brother died. All of the expectations he had for his family of having children. I mean, what kind of a name is exalted father when you have no kids? His wife is infertile. And then they have to be dislodged and move. So all of that was tough, and there were tough circumstances. But he did not obey God. He didn't go all the way into the land where God told him to go. He brings his father. He brings Lot. Lot will prove to be a problem, and his dad proved to be a delay to finding the will of God. Here's the application for you and I. Your past, whatever your past is, whatever the circumstances that have brought you to this place, your past and who you are as defined by your heritage, your past, ethnicity, family upbringing, lack of love, whatever happened in your family, that can either be a hitching post for you or a guidepost. You can let it hold you back, or you can learn from it, be shaped by it, and see it redeemed. It can be a hitching post or a guidepost. And it seems that whenever we bring into our new life in Christ stuff from the old life, it becomes a problem. It can become a delay. By the way, you know what Haran means, literally, delayed. Hey, let's go to the town of delay. Let's go to El Paso and get stuck for 15 years. That's what they did. Okay, now let's go back to our story in Genesis 12 that we have painted that entire picture. Look at verse 1, the very end of it. To a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. Did you get those promises? Five times God says, I will, I will, I will. So often we like to make, we being, I think, preachers and churches and some Christians, like to make your Christianity all about what you do for God. What have you done for Christ? What have you done for God? The truth is, we can't do anything for God until we realize what God has done for us. 1 John chapter 4, we love him because he first loved us. He made the first move. And when we realize that, and only until we realize that, can anything by his grace and through his Spirit ever be done for the cause of Christ. And so I'm always a little leery when somebody makes it all about what I've done for Christ. I haven't really done anything for Christ. Christ can do things in me and through me and for me. I remember back in the early days when John F. Kennedy was president, and that famous speech that defined him, ask not what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country. You ever hear that? You say, no, I've never heard that, only when you do it. Okay, well, he said it. But I think a lot of people make their relationship with God like that. Ask not what God can do for you, but what you can do for God. I love that God says, Abram, I understand that you're a pagan idolater who's had a family tragedy and you can't have children. So, I will, I will, I will, I will, I will. Can you handle that?
Uh-huh.
Good. That's all it takes. If you can believe that, then watch what I can do with you. That's essentially his story. He had no ability to have children, nor did his wife, but God would bless him and make him a great nation. Look at those promises a little more carefully. We have time. First of all, God says, I'm going to make you a great nation. See that in verse 2? I will make you a great nation. Don't you think God has a sense of humor to tell a man with an infertile wife? He's an old man, nonetheless. He's 75 years old when he finally gets there. That he's going to make him a great nation when he can't even have one child? But what happened? It did happen, did it not? There was Abraham, and then miraculously Isaac, and then Jacob, and the patriarchs, and then they grew, and there was a famine in Egypt, and they went down to Egypt for 400 years, and they multiplied, and then God delivered them and brought them into the land of Canaan that became known as Israel, and a monarchy developed with Saul and David and Solomon. And today is the nation of Israel, with 7.2 million people that live within it. 5.6 million of them are Jewish, representing a 43% growth rate due to immigration of Jews from all over the world alone. They become a great nation, a $10 billion per year economy. It is number 4 in the world in exporting citrus fruit to all over the world, and number 3 in the world for exporting flowers. They're a great nation. God said, I'll make you a great nation. Today, they are a great nation. Next promise is that you'll have a great name. I will make, verse 2, I will make your name great. I mentioned that all these three religions trace their heritage, at least in part, back to Abraham. God calls himself the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He identifies with the name of Abraham. And I'll tell you how great the children of Abraham have been. If you look at world population, the Jewish population is pretty insignificant. Less than 2/3 of 1% of the world's population is Jewish. Less than 2/3 of 1%. And yet, that race has claimed between 25% and 33% of all Nobel Prizes ever given out. Third promise that God gives them is that you'll bear great news. He says, you will be a blessing. And look at what it says, the end of that verse. In you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. All the families of the earth will be blessed. Just think what we would be missing if there were no Jewish people, no sons and daughters of Abraham. Well, we would be missing our Bible. I couldn't say to you tonight, turn in your Bible too. There would be no Bible. Read through the first verses of Romans chapter 9, and Paul lists all of the assets that they have given us. We would be without the Ten Commandments if there were no Jewish nation. That's the basis of our American jurisprudence system. There would be no Savior, and without no Jewish Savior, there would be no Christianity. We'd be missing an awful lot. In you, all the nations of the earth will be blessed, is ultimately a prophecy of the Jewish Messiah who would be of the seed of Abraham. Fourth and finally, what God is saying to Abram at the time, is you will become a great need. Now follow this one. You will become a great need, for he says, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. As I read the newspapers and I turn on television, and I hear the rhetoric that here you have today, the nation of Israel with the enemies of Israel all around her, wanting to throw her into the sea, trying to destroy any Jewish testimony of any kind, geographically, historically. And so I hear the rhetoric saying, well, you know, Israel really needs the United States of America as an ally and really needs international support. I laugh at that. Here's the truth. The United States of America needs Israel. They've become the need. Just look at all of the nations who at one time turned against Israel. In ancient history, whether it's Babylon, Assyria, Rome, Egypt, they became second-rate nations. In modern times, Spain, England. One time England, the British Empire, the sun never sat on the British Empire. It was the ruler of the seas, ruler of the world. Read what happened just before and during World War II. And if you've ever seen the movie The Exodus or read the book by Leon Uris, Exodus, it recounts the story of them being placed in ships trying to escape the persecution of Europe. But the British turned them away only for them to die in the boats or go back to Europe to be confined in concentration camps by the Nazis. Just follow the nations, ancient or modern, that have turned against Israel and see what has become of them. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse the one who curses you. I'm not worried about the economy. I'm not worried about health care as much as I am worried about this issue. We will decline very fast if we decide not to align ourselves with the nation that God said he would bless. Those are promises. You can take them to the bank. So, verse 4, Abram departed as the Lord had spoken. That was back in Ur of the Chaldeans. Finally, he gets around to it. And Lot went with him. This is his nephew, sort of adopted now by Abram. He's going to raise him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Now, he left. God never told him where he was going. He didn't give him the GPS coordinates. He didn't even give him the name of the country. He didn't say Canaan, which will be called Israel. He just said, look at verse 1. Go to a land that I will show you. Now, his dad said, we'll just make that Haran. That wasn't God's plan. It was Canaan, but God never told him where. Can you imagine what that would be like? Imagine. You call a moving company. A moving truck pulls up in your driveway, loads all your stuff in it. And the driver asks you, where do you want me to take this? And you go, you know, I don't know yet. The Lord hasn't told me. It wouldn't go over very well. He didn't know exactly his destination. He just had a promise that God will show you. Will, that's future tense. Just move. Just go. I'll tell you when to stop. His dad told him when to stop, unfortunately. They stayed in the land of El Paso for all of those years without getting into the promised land. But he departed and he went. And Abram took Sarai, his wife. I probably need to be fair at this point and read, you don't have to turn to it, I'll just read that little section in Hebrews 11 that I mentioned. This is the New Testament commentary. By faith, Abraham obeyed, eventually, but he did, and it sees him as such, when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of that same promise. So, whatever the delay was, let's get past that. Eventually, he did take the promise that God gave him, and he acts on it, and he'll be blessed because of it, and he'll walk by faith. He'll have his lapses, but he's walking by faith. He's standing now on the promise of God. Finally, eventually, but he's standing on the promises of God. A good question that we should all ask ourselves from time to time is, what do you do with God's promises? There are so many of them in the Bible. What do you do with those promises? You might say, well, I read them. Others might say, I do better than that. I underline them. Others might say, I'll go a step further. I memorize them. All very good steps. But of course, the ultimate and best answer would be, I keep them. I live by them. I practice them.
Perhaps one of the most encouraging things we can take from reading about people like Abraham is the fact that there wasn't anything all that special about them. Sure, God did some special things with Abraham and others, but the individuals themselves were just your average people. Why is that encouraging? Well, because it means God can do the same, do something special, with any of us. And we'll continue this study next time. But before we wrap things up today, let's go in studio with Skip Heitzik and his wife, Lenya.
I know that we're almost coming to the end of January, and sometimes it's just good in the beginning of the year to get back to basics. It seems like as human beings, we get distracted and we can go off in all kinds of tangents. And I like at the beginning of the year just to make sure that the main thing is the main thing and that my priorities are right. That's kind of part of reflecting for me. And so I'm just wondering, as we get back to basics, to reemphasize why it's so important that people have their own personal quiet time or devotion with God, and how a devotional like yours, the Daily God Book, can help with that.
Isn't it neat when you can spend time with the Lord and walk away saying, this is what God told me. This is what he spoke to me. What I'm hoping will happen in this book is to create a thirst in giving them not everything, but just a nugget of truth from a section of Scripture that they might read, but give them the latitude to walk away and say, that was good, but what I heard from the Lord was this. It's just more powerful. One of the basic components of having a relationship is communication. And that means I'm talking to God and I'm letting God talk to me. And so it's that mutuality, especially that's important. If the other person you have a relationship with is the God of this universe, you want to make sure that you're on the same page he is, because his will is what counts.
I think that we're encouraging people to be in his word, but you've been in his word to write this devotional. And I've mentioned before, I like carrying different devotionals. Oswald Chambers, Utmost for His Highest, still ministers to me, although it ministered to him all those years ago when he wrote it, or Streams in the Desert. It's wonderful how the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, and it doesn't return void. And so even as you share your thoughts in this daily devotional, it springs up other thoughts about God's word. And it's just one of those things that's the gift that keeps on giving his word.
You know, Lenny, you know this as an author. You'll write something and your editor will confine you to so many words per page. And that's very frustrating, but it's also very clarifying. And that's what my editors did with this book. They said, you have to make it this short. And that was a very difficult thing for a guy who likes to talk a lot. So What I think it does is it just gives people some nugget thoughts, a couple of little items for reflection. But that's just part of the whole. And this is what God spoke to me in it, but I'm giving room for God to speak more to them.
Well, thanks, Skip and Lenya. And if you'd like to get a copy of today's teaching, it's available on CD for just $6. That includes shipping when you call 1-800-922-1888 or order one from our website at connectionradio.org. And be sure to mention if it's your first time to contact us so we can send you a free New Year's message from Pastor Skip. Just call 1-800-922-1888. Or you can always email us at info@connectionradio.org. And just mention it's your first time to do so.
And make the connection at the foot of the cross. And study the Word of God and find the way into His love. Make the connection.
We'll have more to explore in the 12th chapter of Genesis, so I hope you'll come back for the rest of this study next time here on The Connection, a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.